Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good evening, Razorback fans. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe in Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I am Porter Hayes, and alongside me is Adam Hall. We're also brought to you by Bet Online. Continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. And none other place to start than the big news of the day. We kind of all seen the writing on the wall of Eric Musselman leaving, heading out west to USC. Everything really started picking up speed this morning. And then, of course, the announcement this afternoon. And, you know, just give your general thoughts when you, of course, seen the news, really when it was, you knew that it was kind of becoming official on Eric Musselman no longer being the coach of the University of Arkansas.
I'd say that, you know, this entire week we've gone back and forth with the rumors of the flirting, the more and more that it seemed like it was happening. I mean, because, you know, on Monday's show, it was, the dominoes started to fall with infield at USC, and the rumblings got louder and louder. It went from Musselman not being one of USC's top candidates to he was at the top of their list. So really it was a lot of things coming to fruition after the opening happened. I was kind of glad in a way that it happened, so the speculation would stop. Because that's been the toughest part for any of the fans, is just the sitting and waiting game on what's going to happen, which has been the issue really the last couple few months on, is he staying, is he going?
Yeah, because now everybody will come out of the woodwork and say, well, if you'd look back to this and that. I mean, yeah. I mean, of course we could say that now, but I mean, that's where, when we touched on it Monday, that's why, again, let's just cut out this stuff of, well, we're sitting on this information and we know, just in case you turn heel and you come back. It's like, I don't understand why. Look, this is what we're hearing. This is what's out there. And then, because people get grilled by it, you know, or they, hey, we know, you know, tell us. Or, oh, you're, and it kind of, because it goes either way. Now it's like, well, see, you're just saying that because, of course, you knew. You know, now it's easy to say that you knew once, but the media is held kind of hostage of you. We know firsthand not to put things out there before it's official. You know, we know what happens when things are, you know, going south and when they're leaving. But I'm mixed on the emotions of, look, the guy paid his dues. He was not out of he was out of contract. He did his time, and now he wants to go back home. I mean, he went to three Sweet 16s, two Elite Eights. We can say all that. But the other half of it goes back to what you talked about, the games and the, you know, you just had a guy come in from UMass, had him committed out of the transfer portal, doing all these little photo shoots. And I'm thinking to myself, who paid for that? You know, who did, how much time did you waste that kid's time? Did you waste the university's time? You wasted the fans' time thinking we have this guy coming in from UMass. Like, well, if he's coming in, he committed. Well, surely Mus wouldn't leave. That's where it goes back to, you shouldn't even have the kid come in. You'd have been like, look, I'm thinking about leaving. And now we're all stuck in limbo of, now Battle is in the portal. Musselman's gone. This Cohen guy, he might follow Musselman to USC.
Bayfall's gone.
You know, Bayfall's gone. Now look where we're at. And again, that's a week that you've wasted, that the fact that maybe Hunter Yurecek knew. Maybe that's the whole thing of, hey, you're still here. Look, we know you've been – I keep on bringing up the Kendall Briles deal. Just how you've been flirting and you've been going and you've been doing this. Minus the success at Arkansas, he's basically done exactly what Kendall Briles done. But you see, he'll get the different treatment because of the success. Everybody couldn't wait for Kendall Briles to leave because of his third and longs, you know, all the questionable plays. And again, flirting with Miami, flirting with Mississippi State, and then he went to TCU. But you see what happens, and this is not the fans' fault. I'm just saying, See what blinders get put on when there's success.
Yeah, so a couple of things. You know, I think from a fan standpoint, a lot of the frustration, a lot of the when I say trash talk, I don't necessarily mean it in the generalized sense of trash talk. But there's a lot of fans that, like you were saying, the games they're tired of. They just want to know, either you want to be here or you don't want to be here. Stop holding us hostage. Make a decision. And so, you know, that's one of those things that I don't necessarily look at those fans that were getting a bit frustrated, a bit angry. Like, there's nothing against them. We're all tired of it. We're all tired of, you know, people just handle it differently. You know, you and I have had discussions, your text, phone, everything about, you know, the sources and information coming out and this, that, and the other. And it's one of those things that if we sat here and went through everything that you had been told or heard, everything that I had been told or heard, it was constantly changing. And so for us to sit here and come on and say every little thing that we have heard over the past week, over the past month, et cetera, I mean, it would just sound like that nobody knows what they're talking about. And so that's, you know, the information is held because there's no point in sitting there and running to X or running to Facebook just to put out a post.
Yeah. Well, and this right here, this comment right here, appreciate what Coach Mus has done for the program, but I don't like how he gave the promo like he was returning and then jumped ship. The Razorback fan didn't deserve that. Sums up what I was about to say perfectly. You can be thankful for what he done and be pissed off how he left at the same hand. You can do that. Because, again, you'd be very thankful for what he did for this program in the Sweet 16s and the Elite Eights. But how this was handled, how he did things, look, and now that you look at things and there's been reports of him looking as – so is he a type of person that – you know, he's faced with some adversity. He don't have all these players on his team. He doesn't have a good roster. Now he's wanting to run off and leave. What does that say about the type of coaches if that is what happened? You don't have that star-studded roster. And if he's been, you know, he seems like – we've seen it on the court. We've seen it off the court, how hot-headed he is. Well, what if it's, like I said, things aren't going his way. He don't have the roster, and he knows he's not going to make the tournament. Well, – I'm going to look for somewhere else to go. To me, that is piss poor on his part of, if that's just how you're going, then we're going to be better off without you, because what Arkansas fans deserve is a coach that's going to give you consistent success, and they're going to be a little bit more mature on how things are handled. Because again, what we talked about, if we're going to love the shirt being ripped off and the cheers, we got to take how he was when he was getting them technical fouls. How many games did that change? How many games did that cost Arkansas because of his coaching decisions like that?
And I think now, in this day, with, when I say the younger coaches, I mean, I know that they're still in their, you know, 50s, 60s, but a lot of the coaches that are getting the bigger and bigger gig, you know, Eric Musselman working through, they're not staying places more than, I'd say, 3 to 5 years. They're moving on to the next. I feel like that if you aren't getting your dream job, or you're not taking over, we'll, you know, call it like a powerhouse, a blue blood, a whatever. I don't feel like you should expect longer than 5-6 years max. And that's unfortunate. But, you know, I was looking at going into this season on how much longer do we have left? And that just came from, this was right at the longest tenure he had had. Yeah. So it was, you know, what opening is going to entice him to leave?
Yeah, go back. And this comment right here, but he didn't do the promo. Hunter had his team doctored. Yes, but what we're talking about is him inviting the kid in from UMass, him getting him to commit to Arkansas, knowing that, because look, let's be real. This didn't just happen overnight, what was going on with him in USC or him and whoever. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that, as of a week ago, mm-hmm. we're announcing that this kid is coming to Arkansas, and even he put out a tweet with the eyes, you know. Yeah. I know he had to have known something was up, but still, yeah, it's just, you got to sit there and call out the facts when you see how this was handled. Man, look, the family, you know, they were going back home, they're appreciative. Hey, whatever happens with that, best of luck to him. But I just think that how this all went down, I don't know if it's cowardly or what, but it wasn't handled the right way. And then again, the aftermath that you've left this program, and now what is going to be, now you, hopefully we get somebody like a Beard to come in, or, you know, I know there's people talking about the guy from Kansas State and
Jerome Tang. Yeah.
That parody account that's pointing out that his,
which, you know, people, when you see these posts, go to X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, click on it, and you can quickly tell if it is a parody account, fake account, whatever. The one going around that Jerome Tang is basically all but done at Arkansas from somebody at 24/7 is a fake account.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. You know, the decisions that go into him going back to California, you know, his mother's in San Diego. There's been the talk that Miss Muss has wanted to get back into sports reporting, which was some of the talk and some of the reasons that we are here in the SMU thing, be down in the Dallas area. But, you know, you don't know what actually went into it. I look at it, and some of this is with sour grapes a little bit, as I sat on it today a little bit more. But, you know, I'm looking at USC basketball and where they fall in the line in the city of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And you're near the bottom of that list. And, you know, obviously we're taking into account the professional teams, but USC football is going to be ahead of you. UCLA basketball is going to be ahead of you. So you're going to an arena with 6,000 seats maybe. So, you know, I just look at it like, in my opinion, you downgraded.
Yeah. And again, you know, we don't know what went behind the family aspect of it. Of if you are going to leave, is that USC job or UCLA job going to be open in, say, a year or two from now? And again, not to bring the family into it, but you look at the age of like Mariah, you know, she's at Fayetteville, but you have a chance now where she can settle in and they can all be back home and she can graduate from a school, be there, and not be her senior year. Now we're going to, I mean, all those things. And like Danielle wanting to get back into the broadcasting, she did a little bit of it. And that was another thing, these misleading. It's just how we took it. Her being at the softball game for the women's empowerment, everything she's done for the American Heart Association, the suits and sneakers, it's I guess you look at those things and you're like, man, hopefully that's what will make them stay. But again, it's almost like a bad breakup where two people are still kind of, they love each other because neither one of them really wants to let go, but you know it's the right thing to do. And I think if again, he's been looking and he has been wanting to go, hey, best of luck to him. And the only thing I have, again, is just how it was handled. But you look at the question here, what do you think about Chris Beard? I mean, yes, he has his personal things, and I'm not condoning any of it. And I want to make that very clear because of what I'm about to say, because I'm not comparing the two at all. But you have to look at the fact that when they hired Bobby Petrino back, it opened that door of ethics. It opened that door of, well, let's see who we can get. I mean, they flew a plane over Bud Walton Arena when he was hired back. And yes, Bobby Petrino didn't do what Beard did, but still yet he hired a mistress and done all that stuff we can go back into, and they brought him back. So, I mean, look, and then look, who's your other choice? Will Wade. I mean, been caught on wiretap doing all this stuff, and, you know, he's an option, which I don't want him because, again, he could even make the NIT or the NCAA tournament with Ben Simmons. So, I mean, what would he do for Arkansas?
Yeah, but, you know, Ben Simmons might be the smartest person alive making as much money he's made and played in maybe 50 games. But, you know, I look at Beard, and I think from a coaching standpoint, that's the easiest transition. By that, I mean Beard can recruit, Beard can coach. Players seem to be attracted to Beard style. From a personal, which like you stated, is completely separate, the allegations were atrocious.
Yes.
And it's something that I mean, personally, like we talked about Monday, the integrity in the SEC as a whole, you just kind of got to look at, has kind of gone out the door.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that they just, you know, turned a blind eye to it. We're worried about coaching. They're worried about who's going to come in and get the wins. Who are we going to give the NIL money to, et cetera. Because that's a lot of this too, are your NIL, you know, your boosters, your donors, that who they get to kind of, I'm not saying hand pick, but they have a big say in who comes, and they have a, you know, they're sometimes part of the reason somebody leaves.
Yeah, that's the difference between donating $25 a month to $25 million a year. I mean, or how much ever.
How but much, yes, yeah.
It, those big swingers have a lot of say-so in it. And I heard, you know, that there's a lot of support around him coming back. And, you know, yes, the way I see it is, look, you probably don't know like your boss or your supervisors. Some people don't really know like the personal side of people you think you know. And I'm not justifying this, but it's like the fact that when you're in this big of a business, it's like, is the dice guy going to come in and take you to a championship? Who's going to get the recruits? That's what you got to look at. Who's going to come in and elevate this program? And that's where you got to go. Whether it's a guy from Kansas State or if it's whoever, I don't know what's going on. And do you think the players knew? Did he talk to him before that? I don't know. Again, there's another mystery because you look at how Battle was on the fence. And as soon as he made the announcement, he's going, he goes. Bay Falls, same way. So
that was a question I was asked almost immediately. I think it was actually after the Battle announcement. I got a text and it was, do you think he told the players? Do you think he talked to the players beforehand? And I mean, that's a $1 million question. I have no clue. You know, you would hope that he, and I hate to use what I'm about to use, you would hope that he didn't do a Bobby Petrino to the Falcons.
Yeah.
And, you know, leave a letter. I would assume as many conversations as Musselman has had with his players that needed to enter the portal because of playing time, it wasn't working out, whatever. I would think that he had those conversations. I would hope that they would have been in person, but with all this going on, interviewing for him, et cetera, it's very likely that it was a phone call. I just can't imagine that he walked away without talking to the players first. And let's be real, there was only four.
Yeah, exactly.
He could have had a message. Yeah. So, I mean, there wasn't really a whole lot that he had to reach out to.
And they could have, you know, also known. Mm-hmm. But he's like, hey, look, wait till after I announce. You know, you can look around, you can do your thing, because now you can, you know, season's over with, you can kind of flirt around, I guess, per se. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could have been another issue that we assume, okay, well, he just left them high and dry, but the timing of right after they announced, lets me know that, I mean, it leans toward he did tell them, but again, you never know. But moving forward with the coaching search, I mean, Beard's one of them guys that, you know, he was turning Texas around until all that stuff come out. You know, he's a guy that he's familiar with this area. He's mm-hmm. familiar with the SEC. Texas is coming back into the SEC. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that goes into this search, but we also have to think about every time we think we know who the guy is. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going back to the last two. You know, who thought Pittman? Who thought it was going to be Musselman until the very end when it really started catching steam? There was a few insiders who knew, but nothing was really churning on these people because it was always the first name. So that's mm-hmm. the only reason why. Now, Brandon Marcello put out a thing that had a hog with a guy with a beard.
He wasn't talking about us.
And he was bald, so he wasn't talking about him, you know. Yeah. So he's not the next coach of Arkansas. But still yet, you see a guy that never misses, and he lives in Fayetteville. He is a North – well, I don't know if he lives in Fayetteville, but he lives in Northwest Arkansas, very connected to the University of Arkansas. He puts something out there like that. I mean, I take that as – until they announce that it's mm-hmm. not, I will believe that it is Chris Beard because of that. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But
and that was a question, you know, I actually asked from messages that I had received over the last few days. Because I go back to, which we've talked about, others have talked about, you know, as it not being the first guy on the list. And sometimes, like, then the joke's been, hell, it's not even the top three guys on the list. You know, it's always somebody, but this one has stuck more than anyone so far that I've seen. You know, and I see a few comments here. I'm not going to put them all up, but, you know, I know that Keith Smart's already being looked at for another position.
Fresno State.
Or are we talking about, are you talking about Keith Smart or Shaka Smart?
Shaka Smart, Shaka Smart. I wouldn't want him. He's not proven to. I mean, he had a good run at Marquette, but I don't think he really did much at Texas. But
from what I've been told, also Ronnie Brewer is going to stay in Fayetteville, that's not saying that it's 100%, but he is one that I have been told that whoever is coming in is going to welcome Ronnie Brewer to that staff for what he means to the city of Fayetteville, the school, the state, et cetera. So, and then, you know, right here, can those that have entered come back once a new coach is announced? Can the recent commit leave? Yeah. So anything with coaching changes, players are free. And so even when these players announce that they have committed to a school, they have not signed anything yet. So they could easily I'm going to use Josh Cohen. Even if Musselman had stayed, Josh Cohen verbally committed, he hadn't signed anything yet. So he could have taken that away and gone somewhere else. Now, in the situation of Arkansas, if I'm just going to use Layden Blocker as the example, if Layden Blocker likes who is coming in, he could have that opportunity to withdraw his name from the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And come back to the school. And then the two high school recruits, Elohim and Jalen Shelley, they can now, because of the coaching change, be let out of their NLIs, their national letters of intent. They don't have to be held to that anymore because of a coaching change.
Speaking of that, on the USC side, you see who entered the transfer portal at USC, and it's almost like it's funny, and we can laugh at this now, because it's like, did Bronny and LeBron know that Musselman was coming out there to be the coach? He's like, oh, hell no. He ain't going to yell at my kid like that. You know, he's not – I mean, because you see, as soon as the head coach left, he was out. It's just one of the – and we made a joke. Look, we were totally joking when it was like, what if Musselman was going to USC to bring Bronny in? You know, it was hard enough to deal with Musselman and his antics and stuff and shenanigans. You know, but you just know that what the circus would have brought with Bronny, and everybody, of course, you know, like, we don't want a player that's, you know, 4 points a game, stuff like that. The kid's got a lot of pressure on him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he definitely. And people, like, take off the LeBron hate glasses for a minute. I know everybody has their opinions, but at the same time, this is a father that wants the best for his son. And he wants to put him in the best position.
Yeah.
Obviously, transferring to another school, whether Enfield was going to stay or not, I mean, it's one of those things that there was an out for him, so he took it. And it's, you know, wherever they go, yes, you are going to get some spotlight shined on you because of who his father is.
Yes. I was going to look right here. How many players are left on the Arkansas team? Just curious. I mean, what, three, four, two?
You've got Brazil. Brazil. You've got Mark, who haven't yet to say either way. And then technically, you still have the two high school recruits.
Four kids. Yeah. I was trying to find out who was it. Brandon Baker.
Yeah, Brandon Baker. Yeah, people like over on X, and I've posted it across, and we've posted it. Yes, and you know, that's still going to include Josh Cohen. But so technically right now there's five with Josh Cohen, but you have three that, you know, with Josh Cohen and the two high schoolers, that, you know, those are truly up in the air. I think that Jalen Shelley, if one of the two were going to stay, I think it would be Jalen Shelley. But again, you never know at this day and age.
Just imagine. Worst case scenario, everybody just leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to, what kind of coach would it take to, I've got two players or I've got three players. I mean, four, you ain't even got enough players to fill the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're basketball season ain't even ended yet. You got plenty of time, but that's got to be a daunting task. And you're going to need somebody who has a lot of experience. One, you're going to the SEC. One, you're trying to rebuild this program. And you have hardly any pieces to choose from. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's a guy that is at another school that has people want to come to his school and they can transfer over. What had to happen.
I know a lot of the guys in the transfer portal that have been in close contact with other schools. There were a lot of the same names on the list for Ole Miss and Arkansas. So you're, I think, going to hear some of the same names that you heard for Arkansas and Musselman that potentially, and again, this is just the if it happens, that you would hear with Chris Beard in Arkansas. And then also you've got to think that with that, whoever comes, I think you would see couple guys from his current roster that might come with him as well.
Another aspect that nobody's talked about that I was going to bring up on the show is this is the program side of it, the fan side of it. I was trying to think, when was the last time a head coach at Arkansas left Arkansas on their own accord? That wasn't fired. That didn't have bad
Eddie Sutton.
I mean, you think about it. That's that. I mean, I'm going all sports. I mean,
of course, all sports.
Look at football. Who was the last one? You can't. I mean, go back to Bobby. Go back past Houston Nutt, Kenny Hatfield. Danny Ford. I mean, when was the last one any kind of coach left on his own accord in any sport? I mean, Norm DeBrine? Baseball? Mm-hmm. I mean, you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah. So
it's been that long since the fan base or the programs really had to deal with what? He don't want to be here?
No, it's been the why hasn't he been fired yet?
Lou Holtz was, in my opinion, pushed out. I don't think he left on his own accord. Look, Gary Blair. So again, going back to what, 2000, 2002, I believe,
somewhere.
So we're talking about 20 years that, whether it's 15, 20, 25 years, you see where we're at, as this is the first time in over 20 years that we've had to sit here and think, because we see as Arkansas as this destination. We see Arkansas as this, why wouldn't anybody want to come here? Now you've got a guy that's like, I don't want you. I want to go with, and Briles don't count. I'm talking about head coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to throw assistants in there, yes, you put Briles in that category. So
you put several in there, chose other, whatever. Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's not necessarily a good thing that the coaches that have been here, you know, they've left because they've been fired. I mean,
but yet it's also like, it's kind of a good thing because every coach that's been here has wanted to be here. Now we're in this phase of how is it going to be handled that a coach doesn't want to be here? I mean, it's going to be a blimp because, you know, on the radar, but it's still yet. It's something to think about. This is unprecedented territory for, I want to say, what, 70% of the fan base who've never had to witness a coach leaving because they didn't want to be here.
And I think that the best thing, which I think is what we're seeing is going to happen, is you name the next head coach as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Just so the sitting and waiting is done, because you know that's just going to make it even worse for fans, is the sitting and waiting, because then we're going to start coming up with all different scenarios in our head.
Yeah, but then again, you got to be careful because the task at hand. Cody, I was just going to point this out real quick. We're talking about head coaches, because the list can go on and on with Gus and, you know, whoever, all the assistants that have been under Muss, who've been under, you know, look at Briles, look at Loggins. You can look at Step. All these coaches in other sports, the assistants, there's been a lot that have left because they wanted to go elsewhere. But, you know, you go back to the one day man, you know, I mean, that's Dana Altman. He come here and then that happened.
That whole thing was just weird.
But, okay. So what year was that?
Like 07.
07. So, you know, we're looking at
17 years.
Yeah. I know. I keep on forgetting we're in 24, but yeah. And that happened so quick that, I mean, he was here and then he was gone. So,
I mean, it doesn't even show up on his Wikipedia page, folks. Yeah,
exactly. It's just like, I remember that. It was crazy. You know, it's like he didn't even learn how to call the Hogs. He was out so quick. But yeah, this is going to be something that needs to be handled, quickly, because of, like you said, where we're at with this program. And with the portal, you've got to come in and have somebody come in and know what they're doing and come in that, okay, all right, I've got two guys to work with. Okay, let's get to work. And of course, you know, what assistance is he going to bring in? What will those guys bring in?
There's a lot of questions coming around. You know, I think that if it's, you think with any coach that there's going to be somewhat of a plan. I would imagine that either of the coaches that are being talked about heavily, you know, they're going to bring probably the coaching staffs that they have, maybe give or take guys that may not want to come. But, you know, I look at some of these places, I mean, Ole Miss, Kansas State, and, you know, you look at the facilities, the state, the fans, you're coming somewhere that, well, I'm going to, I guess, take Ole Miss out of that because there's nothing really else in Mississippi. But you don't have to compete with anything else. So Ole Miss, yeah, you're competing with Mississippi State. But Kansas, you're a little brother. You're always going to be a little brother in that state. So, you know, it's something that you get to walk into 19,000 seat arena. You get to walk into all the fans. You get to walk into, you own this state. So, you know, to me, that's a major selling point. I know that Beard loved the state of Arkansas, especially Little Rock. For his time there, they gave him his first D1 coaching position, I believe. I saw some posts today about how he left Little Rock, and I'm sitting here like, you cannot compare leaving Little Rock to go to Texas Tech. Like, yeah, no. That's not a, I mean, he took it was a step up going from Little Rock to Texas Tech. So, you know, there's a lot of questions. I mean, I've played out every which scenario in my head today. I felt like Adam Schefter, just not as cool on my phone, just everything I was getting today, questions, texts, reading, you know, I was just trying to stay caught up on everything, and it was just crazy. But the one constant has been Chris Beard throughout the day.
And you look at the buyout. I know that they're working on an extension, but
we don't know that it's been signed. We've been told that it was agreed upon, but never signed.
Yes.
So we could be looking at a little bit. We could be looking at, I would say, no more than, I mean, if he I think his extension was about his contract went up to $3.55 million a year, I think, or maybe $3.35 million a year. And Mississippi only allows four-year contracts in their state.
Okay.
So, you know, if you maxed out that you had to pay out the entire contract, I mean, you're looking at $12, $13, $14 million. So that or less. But then also you're getting $1 million back from Musselman and USC for him leaving.
Yeah. And I think if it was that, there wouldn't be a discussion about the buyout, you know, if it was that far, if he had just signed a contract, nobody's going to pay him, you know, $20 million or whatever it is that the buyout would be, or $12 million. If you're 4-year deal and you're making 3.5, he was set to make $3.35 million in 24-25 season. So it was that he initially signed a 4-year deal worth $3.25 million for the 23-24 season. So, I mean, I don't know. I hadn't seen anything on a buyout, but it's just the fact that you need to have a guy come in. And let's go back. If it's not Beard, who does Hunter Yurcheck have up his sleeve? I mean, he had Musselman up his sleeve, and we've seen how that worked out. It worked out very well until this year. So, you know, that's where you got to put your trust in Hunter Yurcheck. I know that there was talks of him being out in Phoenix, you know, during the Final Four. And stuff. So we don't know who he was rubbing elbows with and talking with, but the next couple of days, by the time we come on air Monday, we should know a lot more about, and we might even know who the head coach is. But I will say this, it would be very hilarious for them to announce that Chris Beard is the head coach tomorrow, and then he throws out the first pitch on Sunday. I mean, that
or Saturday, yeah.
Too oh, soon. Yeah. I mean, that would be too soon, but it would be hilarious to see that happen.
I would be there for it. I mean, that would be something that you couldn't miss. Just because, I mean, Ole Miss fans are already pressed, which Arkansas fans have been too with all this. So I get it. But I mean, it's just been a funny reaction to see, like, just seeing all these reasons and then the talking down on Arkansas and the program and everything by their fans. I'm just kind of like, I think y'all are just in a bit of denial right now.
Yeah,
I think
there's a lot of programs like that, you know.
You just got to accept it, and you know, none of us may ever truly understand or get the facts on why it actually happened with Musselman leaving. I mean, everything that we could honestly be fed is just lip service.
I just honestly think it was a thing, and this is where it's okay. He did his time. he was looking, seeing what his options were. He left with, I mean, he wanted to go back home. There's nothing wrong with that. That could have been everything that it was. It was just, again, how it was handled. And if that's what it was, we can live with that. If it was, hey, I'm going to be here forever, that is, and we had that clip. That's another thing that pissed me off was, I'm focused now more than ever. I'm ready to do this and that. And then you leave. You know, the crock of crap, that just makes me not believe anything you say after that.
Well, and then there were reports.
Pointed that out right. It happened.
Yeah. And there were reports today. And again, stuff is going to come out after somebody leaves. But you know, there was, and I forget who posted it on X today. But it was, he had been reaching out to other schools before the 2023 yeah. season. And you know, it's one of those that if that is true, then he's been, I mean, he's been looking to leave before, you know, we got into the season and had the season we had, but then that just makes you look at, is that, you know, some of the cause of the frustration, is that some of the cause of the off the court issues? And by that, I mean, like we heard of the players not respecting the coaches.
Yeah, I was hearing a lot of stuff around that. And it's like, so, you know, he was cashed out and things weren't getting dealt with.
Exactly. You know,
things were happening behind the scenes and he was just like, I'm out here doing whatever. And again, everything's cool while you're winning. But then when you're losing and you're still, hey, I want to go to this concert. I want to take my picture with this guy. I want to go to this stadium and wear their jersey. You need to be focused on the task at hand. As long as you're winning, as long as you're doing your business, do whatever. But as soon as you start not doing your business, and again, he could have been looking at this roster, looked like we talked about a couple of months ago with, he could have seen what he had this year. He could have seen what he had coming in next year, but man, it's just not looking, things are not clicking as soon the progress of each class. We talked about how the teams kept clicking on later and later and later in the year, and maybe he's seen that his tenure, you know, he's kind of wearing out his welcome of the fact that it was starting not to work out here at Arkansas.
I mean, I know a lot of us would like to. It's like we go, I think I'm going back to one of our conversations in the football offseason, but this is a moment that you want that truth serum, that you want to have that conversation with him. Hey, no cameras, no nothing. Just you and me, just tell me what happened.
Yep.
Just so I have a better understanding, because right now, you know, it's hard. I mean, I just keep justifying it with going back to be closer to his mother and, you know, Danielle getting back into sports reporting, et cetera. I just look at it like this was a personal move, but this was a business move for his family.
Oh, yeah.
And, because you know, we're not necessarily going to know what he's making at USC since it's a private university. So it's one of those that.
And I think Richard Davenport put something out. They would, I mean, because the cost of living is going to go up and this and that. But, you know, if you're making billions of dollars, look, and you've been sitting, you've been, when you get access to private jets and all this stuff, what are you really spending your millions on other than your home and all that stuff? But, you know, you get allowances for car and all this stuff in your contract, clothing allowance. I mean, yes, you're spending a lot of money because you're living that lifestyle, but let's not sit like he's going to USC broke and, you know, but we're going to switch off of that because I know we'll have a lot more to catch up on Monday when we come back, but we cannot not talk about the gymnastics team who hosted the regional for the first time ever inside Bud Walton Arena. They won their semifinal today. They're headed to the regional final on Saturday with a score. Program record, regional program record of 197-325. They outlasted Arizona, Kentucky, and Nebraska. And then they will compete in the meet on Saturday. Can't be more prouder of the team and the squad that has been on fire. You talking about clicking at the right time. This team is clicking on all cylinders, and Frankie Pierce, Lauren Williams, I mean, they've just been incredible. And to come out and be able to have all these meets inside Bud Walton Arena. Again, we talked to Coach Weber before the season started, was that's their plan. Mm-hmm. How crazy is that? They've outgrown Barnhill, and they're going to be able to run all their meets inside of Bud Walton Arena. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you went from not feeling Barnhill to filling it to trying out one meet a year at Bud Walton. Then you had to move to three. Then in the same year, you're getting to host the NCAA regional. And now you've won that, you know, the first part of it. Now you're coming into the regional final on Saturday, and it's great to see. And you just hope they keep it rolling. And because that's one thing is, you know, these other coaches, the other teams, you know, they're fans just like we are, but they still have their business to take care of.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, tonight at 8, LA, Minnesota, Oregon State, and BYU go to see who advances out of that region. And the regional finals will be Saturday. Day one of the finals will be Saturday. And day two, no, there's just one day. Okay. So day two is separate locations, Gainesville and California. Ann Arbor and Fayetteville will be Saturday. So it'll be a one-day event for the finals. The top two out of those regions will advance to the national championship, or the national championships. And that would be incredible for Arkansas to be able to come out on top or get even, and it's doable because you look at the other side of the bracket or the other side of the competition, you got LSU, Minnesota, and Oregon State and BYU. So all you got to do is just not let one of those two teams get you and you just say fall behind LSU, mm-hmm. which is, hey, second gets you to nationals. So, I mean, that's the thing that's, so they're setting themselves up for, and you're doing it on your home meet, your home floor. We know how, when it comes to scoring, how you could get some home cooking. So hopefully you get some home cooking, and we're talking about the Gymbacks advancing next week to the national championships.
And I'm just getting a quick update here. It looks like Arkansas is down 2-1 currently, almost bottom of the fifth. Hagan Smith was at 9 strikeouts. So
incredible. Incredible. You know, it's
going to be a tough – I mean, like we've said, you never know with some of these SEC series how it's going to swing. So, yeah. No pun intended, but –
And again, you know, Ole Miss could be like, look, you ain't getting our coach, or you're getting, we're not getting
there. There could be some bad blood. You're getting our coach. We're going to, you know, could be. There could be some salty players on that field.
Yeah. Well, man, that's about it for this show. Thank you for everybody tuning in again. Just incredible turnout today. I mean, I know we've got a lot to talk about, a lot of things that were still going to come to light. And putting together a coaching staff and a roster, there's going to be a lot to talk about along with the baseball team, softball team, again, Gymbacks, track season, a lot to come. And can't forget about majoring at Augusta. Arkansas women's golf killing it in Augusta. And I think she had an 82-foot putt for a birdie and nailed it. I mean, That's one of those things that you get undervalued when you're talking about the golf program and just the pros that they've been able to push out. And mm-hmm. So really rooting for her this weekend, rest of the weekend at Augusta. And we'll have more to come with that on Monday as well. But Adam, you got anything else, man?
No, just the posts you see, just remember, do your due diligence before you share and repost stuff and, you know, check who it came from to make sure it's not a parody account.
Well, that will do it for this episode of Hog Talk Podcast. Again, presented to you by Believe. Hey, don't forget to download the Autograph app. Get on all the latest, the Fan Zone, Bet Online, Sterling Soap and Roastery, and Arkansas Brewing Company. We're out, and we'll catch you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.